man, because, you know, if you look in the Old Testament, when they read the scripture, they stood out of reverence to it. So here we go. John chapter 14, verse number 1, it says this: "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now drop down to verse number 16 in the very same chapter. It says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." I'm going to preach a sermon tonight. I'm going to tell you its title. It's called, "Don't Discourage Your Encourager." Don't discourage your encourager. Let me say a quick prayer. Father, you know what I'm going to teach. It comes from your book. I think it's your truth. That means that my personality is not enough to transfer this properly. We'll need your spirit and your involvement. Now, I would like for you to guide my words and guide my mind. But then I would like for you also to control all of our ears, our perceptions. Help us to learn something tonight that we can live. And because it's your truth, I guess we could live it for the rest of our lives, because your truth never changes. So tonight I ask that you reach down from heaven and do something lasting for some people that are here. And they'll hear this live. Others, who knows, maybe they'll hear it in somehow on a recording. But may we all be better because of what we learn in the next few minutes. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. I'll be honest. I see families today, and they're not as happy as what I wish they would be. I go to different churches almost every week of my life. Next week, I'll be with Brother Gailhausen and preach. The week after that, I'll be with Brother Wells and I'll preach, and on it goes. I'm somewhere almost every week of my life. I go to churches, and I don't think churches are as happy as what they could be. There's way too much discouragement in the churches. Now, if it were the lost people, I understand it. If I were lost and on my way to hell, I'd be discouraged too. If I were backslidden, and it's not right to be backslidden, nor is it right to be backslidden and discouraged. But if you're backslidden, you're bound to be discouraged. To the uncommitted church member who lives in the world all week long and merely visits the church on weekends, I guess discouragement can be expected. But among God's faithful people, I think there's way too much discouragement. Can I recommend to all of us that we don't discourage our families? I don't think we ought to discourage our church family. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the story that I just read, and then I'm going to apply it. Now, you'll have to help me. We're going to wade through just a touch of deep water for a moment, but then we'll get where we can splash around a little bit, and you'll find it very practical and down to earth. In John chapter 14, Jesus is telling the disciples that he's going away. He tells them, "Let not your heart be troubled over this thing." His going away. He says, "I'm going to heaven to prepare a place for you." And then in verse 16, Jesus tells them that God will provide a comforter or an encourager in his absence. The Holy Spirit of God will be provided to encourage. Jesus said, "I'm going to leave a comforter. I'll leave the Holy Spirit of God here. And though I'll be gone, he'll be here. And I'll be gone physically, but the Spirit of God will be here. And where I used to encourage you while we ate fish by the fire, he'll be able to encourage you day and night, any day of the week that you need it." So the Holy Spirit then was given as our helper. He is given as our spirit lifter. He is given as our attitude booster. He is given as our joy bringer. He is given as our spiritual energizer. He's given as our comforter. He's given as our outlook refresher. He's given as an emotional controller. He's given as a pick-me-upper. He's given, again, as an encourager. He's given as a heart healer. Now, I don't know if you know this, but there are ways that we can sin against the Holy Spirit. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Holy Spirit. You say, how? I'll give you some ways. Now, I'm going to use a little scripture here, and I'm going to read them to you, and I'm going to read them very quickly. But you say, how could I discourage the Holy Spirit? Remember, He was given as your comforter. He was given as your encourager. Now, how could we grieve Him? How could we quench Him? How could we suppress Him? Okay, well, sexual sins. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, 19, and 20 says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, the Holy Spirit is our encourager. But here the Bible says that he lives within our body. And when we are guilty of sexual sins, we could discourage the one who's there to encourage us. I think sexual impropriety will discourage. It will grieve. It can squelch the Holy Spirit's working in your life. Do you know that people guilty of that sin get less out of the preaching than people who are being moral?
Yes, sir.
I'm just sure of that.
Yes, sir.
But not only that, let me go on. What is something else that could squelch that Holy Spirit, grieve Him or quench Him? The Bible says the unequal yoke. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 through 17 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself. And here, he is our encourager. And we should not discourage our encourager. We could grieve Him. We could quench Him. How? The unequal yoke. Running with the wrong kind of people will suppress the Holy Spirit's working in your life. He shies away with that. What else? What would possibly quench the Holy Spirit? Well, I think the mistreatment of our bodies. You say, why? Because the Holy Spirit lives in our body. We use, I'm not trying to pick a fight with anybody, but some people say this is the sanctuary. If I may, no, it's not. This is the sanctuary. He lives in here.
Yes.
Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. I think that we could squelch the Holy Spirit. We could grieve Him. You say, how? With booze,
yes.
Drugs, cigarettes, yes. Nudity. Anything that would destroy our body, why? That's His house. If I came over to your house today and set it on fire, you'd say, I really don't appreciate that, Brother Owens. You may not be inviting me over tomorrow. You may not want to see me. Right. It may not be there for me to visit. If I show up, you're going to say, it's the creep that set our house on fire. What do you do with the house where God lives? He lives within you. You see, the Holy Spirit is our encourager. He's our comforter. We shouldn't discourage the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible is very clear. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. Listen to Ephesians chapter 40, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, the subject there is evil speaking. We should not discourage our encourager. You say, how would we do that? Well, according to that context of scripture, it's evil speaking. It's gossip. that will discourage the Holy Spirit. Let me see if I can reword it for you. Don't lower the spirit of the one who raises your spirit. Don't take hope away from your hope giver. Don't make your doctor sick. Don't get your picker-upper down. Don't distance yourself from the one who can draw you close. Don't uninspire your inspirer. Don't reject the one who can help you deal with rejection. Don't grieve the one that relieves your grief. Don't frighten away the one that can calm your fears. Don't push down the one who can pick you up. Don't create coldness with the one that's given to warm you. Don't discourage your encourager. And what I'm saying to you is, Jesus was leaving, and when he was getting ready to go away and be crucified, he said to his disciples, he said, look, I'm going to go. And they said, oh, no. He said, but don't you worry. I will not leave you comfortless. I'll physically be gone, but I'll leave the Holy Spirit behind, and he will be there to encourage you. And then in Scripture to come, we were told, now that one that was left behind, he can be grieved. Now, what would we be doing if Jesus left the Holy Spirit here to encourage us and then we grieve the one that is given to encourage us? We have discouraged our encourager.
Yes, sir.
Now, the first point of my outline, we're there. It's going to sound redundant, but I need to start here. Number one, don't discourage the Holy Spirit, your encourager. You know that 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit.
Yes.
Why? He's your encourager.
Amen.
When you got saved, this is what happened. We say, ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. We do. Jesus comes into our heart in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And he is sealed within us. The Bible says he's sealed there until the day of redemption. See, the Holy Spirit, so you know, is likened unto a dove. Did you know that doves are very sensitive birds? They're easily chased away. The Holy Spirit is our ultimate encourager. I don't think we realize how dangerous it is to run the Holy Spirit off, to push the Holy Spirit away. Could I give you some advice? If the Holy Spirit is working in your heart, don't suppress that. Don't run and hide from it.
Amen.
See, our ultimate encourager can be grieved. Our ultimate encourager can be quenched. Don't grieve the one who can help you with your grief. Don't quench the fire of the one who can fire you up spiritually. Don't reject him. Don't push him away. Don't scare the dove to flight. Don't deny him. Don't run away from him. Hey, don't hurt his influence in your life.
Amen.
I know this sounds so simple, but I've been preaching since I was 16. When you stood as many times as I have behind this sacred desk and looked out into a sea of faces, you can sometimes tell when the Spirit of God's working on someone. I've watched times when you can virtually see them fighting the Spirit of God. I watched a man who needed to be born again, and we had preached a sermon on hell, and it was a fiery hell that was hot. And he squirmed and wiggled all over the place. There was no doubt about it. He needed to get born again. And I'm telling you, when I started the invitation, I watched him physically take his hands and put them on the back of the pew in front of him and hold on. He was afraid he was going to come forward and get saved. He may have damned himself to hell by fighting the drawing of the Holy Spirit. But how about you? Does the pastor teach something and you know God's gotten a hold of your heart and a decision needs to be made, but maybe not physically, you did not grab the back of the pew, but internally, on the inside, mentally, you grabbed a hold of your stationary spot and you said, I'm not moving, I'm not changing, I'm not going to get better. Oh, that's a dangerous thing to do. Did you know the Spirit of God will not always dwell with man? You can push him away and shove him in a corner long enough, he'll just stand over there and he'll leave you be. You say, I want you to leave me alone, Holy Spirit. Very terrible thing to say.
Yes.
You ought to be glad if the Holy Spirit's dealing with you.
Amen.
Did you know that that conviction is a sign of sonship? You see, God convicts those that are His kids.
Amen.
So it's a wonderful thing. You say the other day when the preacher was preaching, and I got to feeling bad about some of my behavior. That's a good sign.
Amen.
That's a good sign.
Amen.
But I said, number one, don't discourage the Holy Spirit, who is your encourager. But let me go to number two. Now, we'll get down to a very practical level. Don't discourage your parents. They are your encouragers. Those of you that have spiritual parents, don't discourage them. You know that Proverbs 15, verse number 20 says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Young person, don't push your parents away. You know, parents want their children to be happy. Parents want their children to be successful. Hey, teenager, don't hurt your mother's spirit. You're going to need her. Let me tell you something. One thing that I have watched in life, moms stick with their kids. Last thing you want to do is push mama away. Mama will be there when you're at your worst. She'll love on you even when you're the biggest knucklehead on the block. Don't push away the one that God gave you to pick you up. Teenager, don't hurt your dad's spirit. You need him to help you. Don't discourage your parents. God gave them to you to help encourage you spiritually. You'll need your mom's encouragement someday. You'll need your dad's encouragement someday. Even as you grow up, I'd be careful cutting ties with mom and dad. They sure do come in handy. My daddy, He was called to preach a long, long time ago, and my dad went to be with the Lord last November, right at the beginning of December, just a few months ago. I miss my dad. When my dad passed away, I was 62 years of age. I still called my dad almost every week of my life because I could talk to him for just 3 or 4 minutes, and I was encouraged. Just to hear his voice, I was encouraged. Let me warn you. A child who repeatedly hurts their parents by rejecting their advice, making heartbreaking decisions, emotionally pushes them away, a child that uses their parents abusively, you can wear your parents out. It can get to the point where the parent says, I just can't handle it anymore. What a sad thing, because God gave us our parents to encourage us. So I'm saying to the young people, don't discourage your parents. They're there to be your encouragers. But not only that, secondly, may I actually recommend that we do not discourage our spouse, who, if it's done right, was given to be our encourager. Listen to Colossians 3:19. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. That's interesting. There should not be bitterness between a husband and wife. Now, let me read another passage of scripture to you from Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse number 5. It says, when a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year and shall cheer up his wife, which he hath taken. Cheer. Obviously, God wanted the man to cheer his wife and the wife to cheer her husband. In marriage, we should be one another's spiritual cheerleader. My wife is my greatest cheerleader and I am to be hers. We help keep each other spiritually healthy. Husbands, I'm going to tell you something. If a husband discourages his wife, then who is going to encourage him? If a wife discourages her husband, then who is going to encourage him? You see, we are to cheer for one another.
Amen.
You say, well, how in the world would a husband or a wife discourage each other? The very same way that you and I could discourage the Holy Spirit. Sexual sins, the wrong crowd, misuse of the body, letting it go, evil speaking. We were given to to one another in marriage because she was going to encourage me and I was going to encourage her. A man said to me one time, he said, my wife never encourages me. And this is what she said. She said, the way he talks to me and the stuff he says to me and the way he treats me, I'm depressed most of the time. And then he wants me to become happy to help him. Do you discourage your encourager? We do it with the Holy Spirit. We can do it with our parents. We can do it with our spouse. A man said to his wife one day, I do not know how you can be so stupid and so beautiful all at the same time. She answered, she said, God made me beautiful so you would be attracted to me, but God made me stupid so I'd be attracted to you. Husbands and wives need to form a team. They're not to be opponents.
Amen.
Boy, any man here, if you have a wife that's an encourager, you better thank God. Don't discourage her. Any wife here, if you've got a husband that's an encourager, you ought to thank God that he encourages. You're going to need each other. There are times when there's just the two of you.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to face it alone.
Yes, sir.
You better hope you can keep each other up. But not only that, may I say, don't discourage your friend who is supposed to be your encourager. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Notice a true biblical friend spiritually sharpens their friend's attitude. That's their spirit. When you discourage your friend, you hurt their ability to encourage you. That they, I think it's Facebook where you friend one another. Well, just so you know, the world's concept of friendship is about as twisted as it could be. But if you're a real friend, then you're going to spiritually encourage someone. Hey, I even think this. I think when you stand for right with your friend, you're making it possible that someday they will stand for right with you. But let me tell you something. If you get them down, who will be there to lift you up when you need it? You know, I've never made a phone call to this man to give him a bunch of bad, nasty, negative news. I want to encourage him. I travel all over the country. When I'm with pastors and evangelists and missionaries, I don't sit at the table and gripe and complain and whine and pout. I say, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. God's still alive.
Amen.
If I get them down, hey, I don't know. I may need you someday. There's some preachers out there. I may need them someday. Am I going to shoot myself in my own foot by taking every preacher that I know and get him discouraged and distracted and depressed and get him down? And then one day down the line, when I've lost it a little bit and I need some encouragement, there's nobody to call. Why? I ruined their spirit. I discouraged my potential encouragers. You know, they say, friends don't let friends drink and drive. I think that's wise. I don't think friends fornicate with friends. I don't think friends gossip with friends. I can say this. I've got four or five social media outlets. But I need you to know, I've never had a verbal exchange with anybody on social media. And I'm very pleased that I can say this. I've never spent one moment depressed about what's on social media. You say, why? I don't know what's on social media. I'm very careful what I give my mind over to. I've got to stay on top side. You know, I walk into a pulpit almost every day of my life. And when I walk into that pulpit, people expect that I'll be on top side. People will expect my spirit to be healthy. People will expect that I'll be encouraged. And so I'm very careful. Hey, friends don't encourage friends to do wrong. That's not real friendship. So, don't discourage your friend.
Amen.
Who is your encourager. But not only that, could I recommend that you do not discourage your church. Who is your encourager? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 32 says, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Have you ever thought about it? God just said, don't offend your church. We got the roles reversed. The pew is worried about being offended. You ought to be worried about offending the church.
Amen.
You say, where'd you get that? Let's see, what did that say? 1 Corinthians 10:32. Let me double check it. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Don't be offensive to the church.
Amen.
You know why? The church is here to encourage you. If you sour the church's attitude, you hurt you. You just brought infection into the hospital, and the hospital wanted to heal you, and you make it worse. Don't do the things that hurt your church. You need the church to be healthy. You need the church's encouragement. You say, well, how would I do that? Well, I think you can hurt the church by being unfaithful to its services, be unfaithful with the tithe, be disloyal to the leadership, have a negative attitude. Hey, sexual misbehavior. I'm glad I don't know anything about anybody in your church, but I'm going to tell you something. You go to any church and let it be known that somebody in the church has been doing the wrong thing sexually. People are hurt and offended and they're on guard. Boy, can that suck the life out of a church. And what I'm telling you is, don't discourage your church. Why? Your church is here to encourage you. Bad attitudes in the church, what does it do? It discourages your encourager. You know, I had a lady leave our church, and she left in a tizzy. To this very day, I have no idea why. But she left and she was all wound up, and it was obvious it was an emotional decision. She pushed me away. She pushed my wife away. She pushed everybody away. Well, about a month later, she calmed down a little bit. She came back to church. Right after the first service, she was outside my office and she came in and she put her hands on her hips and she said this, now preacher, I came back today, but I just don't feel like I've been much apart. And she was mad at me. And I thought, you left us.
Yes.
We didn't leave you. You left us and now you're back and it's our fault. I wanted to say to her, how can you feel a part of a church that you didn't attend for 5 weeks in a row?
Right.
Listen, don't discourage that which can encourage you. It's like this. Don't burn down your own fire department.
Amen.
People don't understand. It is self-inflicted misery. You hurt the one that was given to help you. Then when you want help, they're not strong enough to help you. You're the one that weakened them.
Yes.
But let me go on. Hey, don't discourage your leader who is your encourager. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, 18, and 19 says this, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine, for the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder, that's a pastor, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. This is virtually speaking of a man of God, and secondarily, a leader in the church. I love this verse. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That word gave there, it means that when God sends a man of God to a church, it is a gift from God to that church. The pastor is a gift from God to the church. Can I recommend that you do not hurt the ones that are given to help you? Don't damage the health of your health provider. He has no idea what I'm preaching. I choose my own sermons, but I'd be careful hurting your man of God. You hurt your man of God, you may not get all the help that you need.
Right.
I'm going to give you some quick statistics. The average man of God enters the ministry and then he quits in less than 5 years. 1,800 leave the ministry each month because of burnout. And this is in multiple denominations, 1,800 a month. 5,000 churches are started each year all the way around the world in all denominations, but 7,000 close a year. 85% of pastors say their greatest problem is that they are sick and tired of dealing with disgruntled church leaders and members. Disunified people, 90% say it's uncooperative people. Another said we couldn't handle the poor treatment of our family. Now, let me tell you something. You get your pastor, his wife discouraged, then they won't be strong enough to encourage you. And that's what they're here to do. You say, well, I care about myself. Okay, I would expect that's true. In fact, I would guess you probably care about yourself more than anybody else. So if you really care about yourself, take care of him. Because if you keep him healthy, he'll be healthy enough to get you everything you need. You ever been a part of a church where they don't attend to taking care of the pastor? Nothing like having your spiritual encourager discouraged.
Yes.
I've got a little story I've got to give you. A pastor decided that he would use a visual aid and a demonstration to emphasize his Sunday sermon. There were four worms placed into separate jars. The first worm was put into a container of beer. The second worm was put into a container full of cigarette smoke. The third worm was put into a container of chocolate syrup. The fourth worm was put into a container of good clean soil. At the conclusion of the sermon, the pastor reported the following results. He told the congregation, the first worm in the alcohol is dead. The second worm, he said, in the cigarette smoke is now dead. The third worm that was in the chocolate syrup is now dead. The fourth worm in the good clean soil is alive. So the pastor said to the congregation, what can we learn from this demonstration? A little old lady in the back quickly raised her hand and said, well, pastor, the way I see it, as long as you drink, smoke, and eat chocolate, you won't have worms. I got to tell you something. You won't understand it. And I wish that you would believe someone that does understand it. I was called to preach when I was 16. My daddy was a pastor. I have 28, but between my brothers and sisters and my nieces and nephews, there have been 28, 29, 30 of us that have gone off to Bible college and graduated. What we do, what he does, it's not easy. I've helped to lead some large Bible colleges. Most of the time, if the graduates could make it 5 years, we were pleased. Why? You're a punching bag. If they're afraid of you as a man, they'll go after your wife and kids.
Yes.
You say, people are like that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I go to church after church after church. I always try to give some time to the pastors and to their families because I know they're beat up. And they struggle. You do understand no matter what you go through, you're to have a good attitude. And you're to love your enemy. And you will have them. And they expect that of you. And you better have the right answer every time. And you better have it together. And your wife better have a good spirit. If not, you're bad. You better smile. Even when you're not happy. It's a challenge. It is a challenge. I'll just tell you all this. The ministry would not be so bad if it were not for people. Hey, encourage your encourager. Husband, encourage your wife. Wife, encourage your husband. Children, encourage mom and dad. Mom and dad, encourage your children. Encourage. I wonder if the only encouragement your pastor received is the encouragement he gets from you and you only. Could he survive? You've been leaving that to everybody else? Huh. I know what encourages me. Now, I don't walk around hoping someone will encourage me. I was taught a long time ago, you need to learn to stand on your own two feet. But I'll tell you what a blessing it is when somebody comes along and they bless my heart. I'm so grateful at my church, my people, they encourage me continuously. And you know what? We're having a good time. There's something my wife and I agreed on a long time ago. We actually sat down and had a talk. I said, you're going to have some tough days. I'm going to have some tough days. Let's work real hard that we don't both have a bad day on the same day. Because when you're having a bad day, I'm going to do what I can to help get you up. And when you notice I'm having a bad day, please help me get up. But you all know what it's like when you're both having a bad day on the same day. So I merely want to say in my own little way, don't discourage your encourager, because you're going to need me and I'm going to need you. And that's what Jesus did right before he went to heaven. He said, fellas, I'm going to heaven. Can you imagine after having walked with the Son of God, who had a perfect spirit and perfect attitude, him saying, I'm leaving. He was the one that kept them all on board. I'm sure they all went, oh no, please don't go anywhere. He said, but don't worry. I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit behind. And he did leave the Holy Spirit behind. And then you just take a look at the scripture, because the scripture makes it real clear. He then taught, whatever you do, don't you discourage, don't you grieve, don't you squelch the one I left to help you, because you're going to need that encouragement. Don't discourage your encourager. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Think about it. The whole purpose of this sermon, it's not just...